Thank you for joining with us for another episode of Morning Briefings here on the Pipeline Intercession for the President and on our podcast. If you have any dreams that you have about the Office of the President, please send them to pip@christiancenterstreetport.com. We're so thankful that you all have joined in with us on this prayer journey, and we look forward to standing with you not only today, but in the days ahead. So with that, we'll go ahead and join today's broadcast as we talk about the news and stand on the wall for this nation and the Office of the President. Good morning, everyone. What a day it is to be alive. What a great day it is to be alive. And this is a day we've been warning about for a while, not only prophetically, but naturally as well. The accumulation of all our prayers have been for a time such as this, as it is the day that is supposedly the day that the House and Senate are supposed to vote on either the $1.2 trillion infrastructure spending bill or the $3.5 trillion infrastructure spending bill, which we have warnings about. And in reality is continued prayer for wisdom for politicians. And I'll get into some things for even after this moving forward, because as prophetic warnings have been given here and from other people, is what our focus should be is how to have the wisdom of the Lord, not only to survive this, but okay, in the future of an event such as this and others, how do we handle this moving forward? Because if this is a test case, if this is a scenario where God is revealing things and judgment is coming, et cetera, okay, how do we go towards what God wants? What are those things that God wants? We're laying some steps out here. We have to go to another level to look more intricately at them, but it starts the process. And so with that, let's check our motions at the door. Let's go ahead and dive into this a little bit. So I want to go a little bit deeper on what we mentioned yesterday, a little bit about the inflation rates forecast being increased and some importance behind that from an economic perspective. So earlier this week, Fed Chair Jerome Powell and Treasury Secretary Janet Yellen had publicly stated that now their estimates on inflation are higher because, as this article points out from Just the News, that the rising inflation rates are higher than they originally anticipated. This is not good for a host of reasons. One, it shows they do not have a pulse on the market, or they are completely lying. I'm not saying either one is true, but the reality is they're publicly not stating and not showing confidence that they understand what is going on monetarily in this nation and around the world. So naturally there's that. And Jerome Powell, the Fed chair, talked about how inflation is elevated and will likely remain so in coming months before moderating, meaning going down. All intensive cases say that is not true. He said inflation only lasts for a little while. It has continued on for months. There have been some who have said inflation is non-existent. It is only certain aspects of society, but then it has somehow magically just creeped into every portion of society. Again, showing that he does not have a pulse on what is going on, which is scary, because if these are the people who are trying to control monetary policy and the economics of everything, it is very alarming for them to continue to be wrong and wrong and wrong again. To me, it's just God mocking them for trying to control and play God with our economy. And you're seeing now what is being considered a true acid test for the economy, in meaning that you're seeing what the foundations of these policies have been for generations. This isn't just Jerome Powell, even though he's put in by then President Trump. Is Janet Yellen, who was before him, the Fed chair, policies like this, and have put us in this position. And so if you know, we've talked about it here about how she wants to increase government spending. It's because she was for it under the Obama administration, because she was put there by Obama before President Trump. And in an intercourse of questions that happened when Janet Yellen was sitting before the Senate, Tim Scott had a great comment about some things that happened. He said, there is nothing compassionate about spending money we don't have on new benefits we can't afford, all while discouraging work and increasing the likelihood of a future default. When the yet-to-be-born American receives the bill for benefits she didn't experience and are no longer available. It is also important to note, he continued, that our labor force participation rate is down, not up, even with the new programs and the payouts that I heard this morning during this hearing, that somehow is supposedly increasing our labor force participation, when in fact it's apparent and clear that to Americans that's not the case. And this is a rebuff to what Janet Yellen was pushing for in the quote-unquote Build Back Better plan, which Nancy Pelosi has come out and said is more of an Obama agenda than a Biden agenda. And if you're looking at some of these things, increasing taxes when we're already dealing with inflation, increasing taxes when you're seeing people leave the labor force is not a good thing. If people are leaving the labor force and they're not working, and you're trying to raise it on the wealthy, and that's being blown to portions, and it falls down to the people making 30,000-40,000 and possibly even less, and now sales tax and gas tax and breathing tax, most likely. I mean, being facetious, but there are things in this bill, like, and I want to point this one out, is they want to tax unearned capital gains every year on billionaires and investors. But the question is, if you're going to tax people on their unearned capital gains, are you going to then refund them for when they make losses in their investments? Billionaires, anybody alike. And that makes any investment riskless. I mean, there's no risk involved there. So there's a lot of logic that is not going on. It is very what Joe Manchin is saying, very fiscal insanity. And he says, I cannot and will not support trillions in spending and an all or nothing approach that ignores the brutal fiscal reality our nation faces. And look, the Democrats, progressives alike, are attacking Joe Manchin and attacking Kyrsten Sinema in this moment, which is insane, because you should be wooing them. You should be, what do you need? What do you want? What can we do to get you to vote for this? Instead, they're going out and attacking them. Kyrsten Sinema responded yesterday in a very sarcastic manner to some reporter who was asking, where do you stand on this? Where are you at, et cetera, et cetera? And she says, well, I'm here in Washington. I'm here by the elevator, because she was asked by the elevator. I mean, she's talked about where she stands on these things, but they're not approving of where she stands because they don't like it. And kudos to them too for standing and having a backbone in this moment. And so the goal out of this is to fund the government. Look, something's going to get passed. What the ultimate goal should be: fund the government, but do not increase the debt ceiling. Or if you do increase the debt ceiling, put a timeline on it and put a specific amount on it. Don't just pause it for the inevitable future. And the article we posted last night, Jamie Dimon from Chase was talking about that. He's like, just suspend it. It's all political. It all means nothing. And that's not how you run a country. And obviously he doesn't care for that, but I'm not here to get into that. But again, our prayer, and this is something we have to look at as a nation, of we have to repent for our just wanting to spend and not pull back. within our own personal budgets and at a state level and a national level. And because we're at a point where we're reaching into future generations and pulling their revenues back. That's where we're at. And that's what prophetically we have been warned about, of continuing to reach not only into the next generation, but into three and four generations down the road. So our prayer continues to be and will be that the congressional and Senate leaders, Republican and Democrat alike, will stand up against this spending agenda that God has shown will cripple the next three to four generations, and have God's wisdom of how to vote today. And as being warned by Janet Yellen, that, you know, in the next 3 weeks that the government will be insolvent, which could be alarming and shut down the country. Either way you look at it, there is no pretty way out of this. There is no magic pill that we can just swallow and write a blank check and get out of this. Because if we write, quote unquote, that blank check and, you know, have that pill be the end all be all and solve all our problems, it won't, because we still have an inflation problem. We still have a supply chain problem. We still have a huge issue with how the state of the economy is. And look, it's coming to the forefront now because of the COVID crisis. Whether people realize it or not, we were in this years ago, before Trump, before Obama, because we had a spending problem. We did not live off of a balanced budget in this nation for quite some time. We spent more than we had, and now it's gotten to a point where we are reaching insolvency every couple of years, or the threat of insolvency. And what we do is we keep spending from future generations. And at some point, we can sit here and just deny it and kick the can down the road, or we can deal with this like they did in the 70s. Yes, it seemed hard for people in the 70s, but guess what? It's set up for the 80s and 90s for you to have a thriving society. And this is where, as believers, our prayer, not only the Holy Spirit comes in and you set these proper economic foundational principles, but that we also get in there and we disciple those leaders who will disciple the nations. That's the biblical fallback and the foundation that we stand upon. Because if we don't, then we allow those who are for an antichrist, anti-biblical agenda to come in and disciple the nations. And our light is needed. The light of other believers is needed in this nation for us to reach the destiny that we have. Okay, moving on. This is very interesting that this is coming out here recently. Something we need to continue to pray about for our southern border is that Panama has, for months now, been warning the current White House that there are upwards of 60 to 70,000 migrants who have been making their way. You know, we had the 15. Supposedly, there's more, even more coming after that. The foreign minister warned not only the White House, but other Central American and South American nations to do something about this. Erica Moines talks about this in an interview with Axios. And one thing she points out is that she says, look, Panama has started a migrant quota system in participation with its two immediate neighbors, Colombia and Costa Rica. However, she added, other South American countries need to set up similar systems in order to keep migrant numbers manageable. And in the article, she talks about how, you know, these Haitians came to South America and Central America after the devastating 2010 earthquake, looking for jobs. And I can get that. You go looking for jobs, opportunity, because those have dried up in your country. Well, guess what? In those countries that they've gone to, her claim is that they've dried up and that the migrants need to be spread out to other nations so that it can be dealt with and it's not all just put upon one country. And right now is they're all, because of the supposed dry up in those countries, they're coming here. Whether that's true or not is yet to be determined, but it's still a problem for us while we go through these points of inflation in our country, which raise the cost of everything and put us at a disadvantage to not only be able to help them, but able to help ourselves. And then, you know, there's the whole quote quotes coming that, okay, what about our homeless? What about our veterans and healthcare? All this, we have our own problems to deal with, and them coming continues to add upon that naturally. Spiritually is, look, why are you leaving Haiti? Why are you leaving these countries? Why aren't you staying? You're fighting, taking ground back. And that's a spiritual battle there. But look, I feel for them. They're trying to come for a point of economic prosperity. And our point needs to be intercede not only for them, but for Texas and the Border Patrol, because they're going to have another battle on their hand, another crisis. And if we really, you know, are worried about this quote unquote COVID crisis, there needs to be a vetting process come through. Border sovereignty needs to be claimed here for our nation. And so just a warning of this is what's coming down the road. There are more migrants coming. There's more of this stuff coming down the road. And we've seen how this administration has handled it, and they need wisdom in that. Okay. Again, moving on. The story came out yesterday after the debate with Virginia gubernatorial candidate Terry McAuliffe, who said he doesn't think that parents should be involved in deciding and telling schools what they should teach. Very interesting. This is an old thought process that goes back decades about how the Department of Education, teachers unions, state departments of education think that parents should let the government decide. And the whole goal here is to centralize everything because it can, quote unquote, be more effective because they know better. Because they're the ones supposedly looking at it every day. Parents, they're worried about providing and doing all this. They're distracted. So we know what's best. Okay. We've seen the fruits of this for long enough to determine that this is not beneficial and or helpful. We had the prayer and warning and dream from Regis Richards back over a year ago before the election, that parents needed to wake up to the reality of what's going on in the school systems. And COVID caused that, which I think is a good thing. You know, we can sit here and say, okay, COVID was stressful. The lockdowns were stressful. Keeping kids out of school was stressful. Yes, it might have been. I didn't have a child at the time, but my wife was a school teacher, and it was stressful on school teachers as well. So they've been in this scenario for 3 years and going on 3 years. And so now you're seeing the fruits of everything, the reality, the truth, everything being exposed, not only economically, but here with the school boards. And so we see this process. Now, what came out just before that and is now getting light is that a group that Terry McAuliffe is a part of, a law firm, is and the school board, Fairfax County, is suing two special needs parents who followed the laws and submitted a Freedom of Information Act request, got the information, gave it to the Daily Wire, and has since been issued threats and warnings in suing them because supposedly the county didn't, or the school board didn't properly check to see if they could send them the right links. The hoops, mental hoops they have to jump through to get to this conclusion to sue two special needs parents. Because let's see, I want to go through this and understand why the special needs parents asked for these records from finding out what was actually happening to their special needs children. The reason the parents are asking for this is because the parents say the school system is dirty, including of systemic physical abuse by educators on their special needs. And in the actual reportings, the allegations from the parents are that their children were dragged across the floor, special needs children, dragged across the floor, kept in card boxes, put in tiny isolation rooms, hundreds of times, put in chokeholds, and struck in the head hard enough to receive a concussion. These are allegations. This is what the parents are trying to get brought to light. Kudos on this mother for doing this and the other mother for putting it out on her own blog. And the school board talked about how they have since filed a complaint for injunction relief and damages against the mother, saying that contrary to normal procedures, the Fairfax County Public School Board records had been provided to defendant Tesler, the mother, Deborah Tesler, who originally put this out with the Daily Wire, without a second level review of counsel. Further review revealed that although they contained redactions of some confidential information, the redactions were incomplete. And so they're saying this violates federal law and et cetera, et cetera. Look, she followed the legal procedures. She submitted a Freedom of Information Act request. She paid the fees that were required to go with it. And then the school board sent her a link to the records. I mean, she followed procedure here. And now the school board, who and has hired the law firm, Hunton Andrews Kurth, that hired McAuliffe, who's running for governor in Virginia, to bury this and bury other allegations of abuse. Like, my blood is boiling, but also at the same time is that, God, have your Holy Spirit, have true justice come forward in this. Not just protests, not just burning down. Like, that's not what is needed. This needs to go to the court system. This is a golden court case that needs to be brought to light. And understand this, that this is not just – I'm not saying that the abuse like this is happening everywhere, but the control, the spirit of control behind what is similar to this in teachers' unions and school board officials is happening all across the country. If you've listened to Matt Walsh lately, the hysteria of parents only being allowed a minute to be able to speak to school board officials and in the past have only been allowed to speak for 30 seconds, unfortunately, that is not how – God intended it. That is not how it was originally intended for parents to be involved in the school board. And there's a host of debate of whether the Department of Education is even needed. But for this and issues like this around the country, as parents, we need to wake up to the realities of what is going on in our school boards. And not all school boards and school systems are bad. It's just you have to check and make sure, you know, trust but verify to a degree. Because there are some areas where they're out of control. There's some areas where they're falling in line and there's not a problem. They still teach biblical moral values. They still teach those things. It's rare and few and far between, but it still does happen. So it's not a knock on every single teacher and every single school board around the country, but it's trust and verify. You need to make sure, because they've been slipping things under, even with some states banning CRT and these other things, is school boards are still, and the teachers and unions are still allowing it to happen. So again, we need to intercede that parents awaken in this season to the reality of what's going on in the school system. All right. Last few things is YouTube again has decided to quote unquote ban all anti-vaccine content contributing to what they consider misinformation, things that are going out on YouTube about the vaccine. And really just what's interesting is a lot of this stuff I've seen is just they're reporting the reportings that are out there on the open forum for journalists, opinionists to point out there is to show, and they are showing CDC, FDA, WHO, numbers from around the country, just as we're doing sometimes. And yet they're going to squash that. The alarm here is that, and I wrote this down to make sure I get this correct, is this violates Section 230 of going back to what we talked about last year and what Trump tried to deal with before he left office. In the fact that the YouTube now is acting as a publisher, meaning they're determining what goes on and off of their platforms and not as a platform, which is what it is if you consider yourself to be under Section 230 and have these protections, you're now violating that Section 230 agreement and saying that, no, you get to pick and choose what is out there. You get to pick and choose what is right and what's wrong. And if you remember a couple months back when Facebook and YouTube did this about the truth about what happened in the Wuhan lab, and they got eaten alive by it because the truth was is that this stuff was true because people were reporting what was going on with in Congress being reported, what was going on with the FDA, with Fauci. So putting this out there, this is just the reality of how things are now. This is beyond 1984. This is Soviet Russia. You're not trying to change the information. You're controlling the information. And this is sad, sad to see. And we also know that the vaccine mandate that was signed into, quote unquote, an executive order by President Biden on September 9th has still no timeline of when OSHA will actually implement it. And one huge thing to point out is with all the fines and everything that's going on is they are in the process. Department of Labor Secretary Marty Walsh is in the process of creating the Emergency Temporary Standard Department to implement the new vaccine requirements. So you're having this portion of the government being created, alphabet soup, not knowing what authority, not knowing, again, not gone through Congress and the House and the Senate, excuse me, to determine that this is the proper way to do it. So we have this unknown variable, and you're still seeing hospitals and jobs and businesses implement this. And now Fauci has come out and said that the term fully vaccinated now includes boosters as well. So again, goalposts have continued to change continually, and we're seeing the ground shift while at the same time in Australia, where you have the massive shutdowns where people are only allowed to take their mask off in their own home, cases continuing to rise and cases around the country. There's a story out in Maine where they have 65% vaccination rates, which is higher than the national average of 56. They're having an outbreak. And this just shows the Delta virus and the virus itself. It's seasonal and it's going to travel as it did in India when the rest of the world had gone through its peak. India then went through their peak, and same with the UK and et cetera. So I'm just throwing this out there. We need wisdom here. We need to intercede for the Holy Spirit to come into the White House, and that the Lord's enemies would be scattered, and that the truth would come forward, and some sanity would be brought forward. And again, look, this is the world we live in right now, unfortunately. And there is hope. If you listened last night to our healing and deliverance service, and if you haven't, I would highly, highly suggest you do. And even the Harvest Fest with Rick Joyner and Morningstar, Rick Joyner talked about this a lot. It's we need to have solutions. We need to understand what authority Jesus's blood on the cross gave to us, what authority the Holy Spirit gives to us to overcome these scenarios, to give us the answers to these solutions, no matter the dictates of what is happening from a governmental level. And that's where we want to stand, and not to be dissidents to society, in order to bring hope to the hopeless, in order to bring hope to those who are alone and who are anxious, and who have you seen a 30% increase in numbers of murders, in increase of mental health issues and suicides. Of this is where we're needed. And look, we ultimately have to get ourselves healed in order to heal others. But look, God can use you at whatever state you're in, whether you know you're mentally unstable or whether you think you have all things together, because I can guarantee you, I do not. I mean, this whole waiting for my child to come is really, so I talked to my wife about it, is really added into the stressors of all this, because it's like, look, I would like to control things. She would like to control things. But you know what? It's in God's control. We're having to wait for God's timing on this. And it's funny. I feel like God's just laughing at me, just sit here and kind of be anxious and impatient about it. But you know what? Is at the end of the day, no matter what goes on, God is still in control. No matter what a government does, God knew it would happen, and in some cases has allowed it to happen in order for us to wake up, to realize the state of not only ourselves, but our country and our nation, in order to get us to wake up and to realize that He is God, and endure through it all, and endure and be patient and understand that God disciplines those whom He loves. Look, if God didn't care about this nation, He wouldn't allow us to go through this so that we could repent and wake up and get back in the destiny that He has called us to be. to be a nation that spreads the gospel of the kingdom to the nations. And, you know, we can sit and say, oh God, woe is me, oh God, why complain. But in reality, it's like, look, thank you, God, for sending this discipline upon us. Thank you, God, for allowing us to be at a point where we're having to, and the nation and the world is having to wake up to the reality that you are God. And so with that, I close. Again, if you hadn't had the chance to go back and listen to our healing and deliverance service last night, please do. It's on YouTube, Facebook. It'll be on our app as well here shortly. And it really helps us deal with a lot of the struggles and the things that we've gone through. And look, we all have issues. Like last night, I felt so convicted about, ooh, that's me. And just repenting and allowing the Lord to come heal me, so that going forward, my light that God has given me can shine brighter. So if you had any chance, go back and watch that. For those who listen on podcasts, you as well. It is amazing to listen to, so we can get healed, because that's where we're at right now. It's a point where God is here. God can deal with these things. So don't forget, we'll also, I'm not sure if they'll actually live stream today. I'm not sure where they're going for our noon prayer, going out on the streets, praying for our city, an example for you in other cities, so you know how to pray and release the presence of God wherever strongholds may be. And then also tomorrow as well, if I'm not in the hospital, I'll be back and with our noon prayer as well. So blessings. See you guys tomorrow or next week. Have a good one.